Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Does the idea that God has spoken to us and provided clear direction for us on how to live cause you to feel delighted or annoyed? In today's podcast and post, we continue our series entitled Psalms Greatest Hits with a look at the 12th section of the 119th Psalm. The Lamed is a shepherd's staff that raises everyone up by way of learning. Join me now as the psalmist orients us towards the only thing that has never changed in every generation. If we learn this thing and it is understood and applied, we are told we can spare humanity from perishing in our affliction. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world, just like you. We all have a lot of hats. We're all very gifted in very different ways. We all have different passions, interests, and our lives are all going in very different directions, and that's a good thing. I want to welcome you to the program. I'm always so glad when you're here because I say this all the time. You're probably tired of this intro, especially if you're one of those who've been around for 550 plus episodes. But nonetheless, I'm always glad you're here. Whether you find it by accident, whether you found it by searching, you heard from a friend, it was forwarded to you by a loved one, you're here now. And so I invite you to be present with this content. You will discover it's slightly nuanced and different than perhaps any other thing you could give yourself to for the next 20 or 30 minutes. So today is podcast number 556. We revisit our ongoing series called Psalms Greatest Hits. We are in a sub-series of the 119th Psalm. And like I said, at our present rate, we should probably get through this 119th Psalm within 3 years. I'd say we're halfway through at this point. Nothing like the long game, right? Okay, so this is such a great psalm. That's why I want to give our time to it. But we are going to take a little bit of a breather today from our study in Colossians. We're going to rest. We're going to kind of just be present with sacred text and the words of the psalmist, and we're going to reflect on it. And I hope it serves you. I hope it heals you. I hope it inspires you. And so let's begin. The 12th letter in the Hebrew alphabet is called the, you heard it in the introduction, Lamed, L-A-M-E-D, H. Okay. And for those of you who just are tuning in or are new, the 119th Psalm is broken up into sections. Each section contains 8 verses. Each 8-verse section represents one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so this is the 12th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the Lamed. Okay. The symbol that you'll see in my blog, Thrive in Exile, or that's on the website, is the Lamed symbol, and it's likened to a shepherd's staff because it kind of has this little hook that goes up, and it stands higher than any other letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So the Lamed means learning, it means studies, discoveries. It relates to the staff as that which lifts a person higher. So it's your learning that raises you up, that helps you to grow. And we all know this is true. I mean, I'm a parent, and if you are a parent, and even if you're not, you can certainly understand how excited you are to have a new baby. But the baby knows nothing. And within days and weeks, it's learning certain things. Within months and years, it can do things it could never do when it was a newborn. And the celebration of raising a child is really a celebration of all the things they learn, because they become more and more mobile and independent, and the things they learn go beyond just learning how to eat and sleep and get dressed and brush their teeth. We get into school, we get into social, we get into relationships, we get into our passion projects, our interests, our hobbies, everything. And this is this process of life. And so this is all bound up in this psalm. So beyond this, though, when I was looking through the Hebrew commentaries, I did notice a lot of scholars that just, they really stretch what is possible here. I see that in a lot of Christian commentaries as well. I mean, yeah, it may talk a lot about all of that. But honestly, I don't think we need to pull much more beyond that. Our learning, our studying, our discovery is what raises us up. And so the psalm is begging the question in these words, what are you studying? What are you learning? What are you coming to know? Because if you come to know the thing that's in this section, the Lamed, you are going on a different path for life than the person who doesn't. And that's why I asked the question I did at the beginning of this podcast. The Lamed is in the middle of the alphabet, and learning is central to our humanity. I think that sums up the essence of what this is all about. Now, the 119th Psalm, as I alluded to, is almost entirely about the centrality of God's word, God's voice, God's commandments, God's counsel, his precepts, his law, his ways. And nearly all of the 176 verses that are in this chapter, almost all of them explicitly reference God's loving direction, which is given to us. It's 176 verses about God speaking to us, communicating to us, directing us through life. To be raised up like a Lamed, to truly become the best humans possible. Like if you were a parent and you had a newborn and you had zero interest in training them to do anything, you literally just fed them, changed them, and let them lay on the, you know, little blanket, it would really put you question as to how much you really loved your child. Therefore, the fact that God's commands, his law, his communication, his shares, his voice, it's made it so vivid, so clear, is evidence that God loves us. So to be raised up is to truly become the best person we can be, just like a parent training a child to become the best that they could be. We all start knowing nothing, and then we begin learning what God has to say. And I'm convinced this is the centrality of this section of Psalm 119. And expanding outward, it's the single greatest aspect of learning any person can undertake. And yet, it's the thing right now our culture cares very little about. People will watch so many more cat videos than they ever would a video about the teaching of God. People would much rather learn about their political party hating the other half of the world than they would to learn the voice of God and follow it. That's the reality. People don't want that as a joke in our family. So I'm going to begin with verse 89 of chapter 119 of the book of Psalms and read through verse 91. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. Yeah. I mean, you think about the cosmology that the psalmist has, and it should be our cosmology as well, but for most of us, it is not. We don't look at the world as belonging to God, as everything being the servant of God. We don't look at the everything being established entirely by God. We think maybe he wound it up billions of years ago and then took his hands off the wheel. God is not a conjecture or an idea created in the mind of humanity. This is a common assumption in our modern worlds, that people are making up the idea of God. People say there's no physical evidence for the existence of God. And yet these are the same people who would believe in such a thing as mathematics when there exists no physical evidence for mathematics either. Would never dare to live their life apart from it. And it would be impossible to do so. The same is very true for God. Our theologies, if you get into religion, our doctrines of God, they might kind of help us gain something, some knowledge, some learning, some discovery of God, but they are such a faint notion of who God is. Do you realize that? That all that humanity has taken from the Bible and sacred texts and all that they've learned through tradition and history and time is just a fraction of the discovery of God. In the same way that looking at one galaxy in our stars of ours is a fraction of what is out there. The fact that God does reveal aspects of himself to us and that he has inspired guidance on how to think and how to live in this life helps us to know not only that he loves his creation, but how he loves us. We are to learn, lamed, we are to learn. We are transformed. We're changed by our learning. We're raised up. And it's his love and his words to all generation that never changes. Verses 89 through 91 that we just read remind us that every generation gets the same experience with God. He never changes. All servants have access to the same source. We are all making copies off of the original, not copies of copies. Does that make sense? The hearsay about God is what piles up. And that's what most of our faith and experience seems to come from, is hearsay. It's people talking about their understanding, giving their opinion on God, rather than just hearing directly from God through his word, his law, his precepts, his commandments, like the psalmist directs us. We just go around talking about what we've learned. I'm no different. I do a podcast every week talking about what I've learned. And commentaries fill libraries. And now data fills hours and hours and hours of podcasts, each saying something new, perhaps, yet God's word is fixed forever. Like this is the framework. If you continue in verses 92 and 93, he said, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." You see, God's word, which isn't the Bible, although the Bible testifies to God's word, I know that might trick some of you up, but replay and rewind and figure this out. God's Word isn't the Bible. The Bible testifies to the Word of God. It functions like a sword, we're told, that divides people and each person. God's law causes some people to rebel and expand in their hatred of God because they can't accept that God's will should displace their own will. So you have great tension when you start saying the Word of God. People get twitchy. Some, like cockroaches, want to run back under the fridge. But for others, like the psalmist, the law of God, the voice of God, the communication, the revelation of God is a gift of grace. It's the wisdom that says no. Not just no, but no because it will hurt you. It's guidance. It's the speed limit sign at the corner of the big cliff that says slow down to 20 miles an hour. See, by heeding God's commandments, by entrusting His will over ours, we're spared unnecessary hardship and suffering. I didn't say we're spared suffering. Suffering is the design of your life and mine and all people's. Nobody gets through life without it. But we are spared unnecessary hardship and suffering. The affliction that comes from ignoring the regulation, the rule, the word, that corner that should only be taken at 20 miles an hour and that was guiding you, if ignored and you insist on your will to take it at 50, you could endure unnecessary hardship and suffering. Whereas if you heed the law, you will make your corner just fine. This is the relationship here. And for the psalmist, affliction is the perishing or the death which results from not delighting in God's law. You ever get on a highway and you see the speed limit sign and it says like 40 and it feels like on this road is way too slow. You just can't do it. You drive 55 or 60 because 40 is impossible. That's affliction. See, rather than being a buzzkill that robs our life of fun, God's precepts enable us to have much more life than is possible without them. While the road may seem safe for 60, it's 40 miles an hour because children are at play, animals and livestock. Homes and families are directly in proximity to the road, and going too fast robs them of life as well as you. See, trusting God's law is like spinning a flywheel. It starts off when we're young, it's as a labor. It's laborious and slow, it's heavy, it's a work. But each effort brings increasing momentum as the flywheel begins to speed up. It takes less effort to spin it while it is spinning than it takes to get it spinning from a dead stop. And that's the momentum that spares us hardship and fills us with life. The labor of spinning the flywheel becomes a delight as we anticipate and become curious about how obedience will shape the trajectory of our lives. Oh, wow, if I can navigate that corner, what else can I do? Rather than skimming over life, which most people do, especially in this world of social media, you get on and you start death scrolling. You're skimming over life. Right? But rather than do that and live as a slave to our appetites and our will, like if you think you are the boss of your life and you insist that you get to do only what you want, when you want, how you want, that's a tragedy. playing out. That isn't good news. So rather than live like that, we perpetually seek God's way, God's will, God's word, God's voice. And it's making us forget his precepts less and less likely. Does that make sense? Like the more you spin the free will, the more you become dependent on, well, what's next? What regulation, what law, what rule is going to guide me down the road now? What is it causing me to pay attention to? And it makes forgetting the law less likely for you. This is 94 through 96. As we complete this section, it says, I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I've seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. You see, those for whom God's word causes dissonance or anger or hatred become so certain and so proud of elevating their own will and reasoning above God's will and reasoning. And Scripture clearly says God's ways are much higher than our ways. But those people for whom God's law is a burden and they show disdain for it, they're also the ones who just can't seem to leave it alone for everybody else. They seek to devalue it, to diminish it, to destroy it. And not only in the light of God's voice, but those who seek to live in and from the light. It's not enough just to say, well, I don't believe it, but I'm going to go on my way. They actually have to tear it down for everybody else. And when a person is saved in the way the psalmist is describing, he says, I am yours, save me. They're not being saved unto or by any religion. The psalmist is pointing us to a salvation where we are saved by God himself, by way of his words. That dangerous corner, we were saved from the affliction of going off the cliff because of his guidance, the speed limit sign. I'm not saying that all human laws are perfect and are perfect representations of the law of God. Some are good. Some are poor. They have man's wisdom all wrapped up in them. But when we find his word through Scripture, we discover the law of God. The precepts, the principles, the thesis upon which we build our life, the assumptions which hold up to actually be true. These precepts of ultimate reality prove to be far more reliable than the reality created by those who despise God. That's the shocking discovery. This altered reality that shines through God's testimonies, his commandments, is utterly mind-blowing. It's beyond our comprehension. It knows no boundary. There is no place in our life where God cannot speak truth into any and all situations. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock. And for those who have discovered this reality, this altered reality that comes from God saying, not that way, this way. Go faster, not slower. Slow down, go faster. Be careful. Watch this. Watch out for that. Be mindful of that kind of person. When you're in this situation, pay attention. Not all people are your friend. Like, he gives so much guidance through this word. And once you kind of discover it, you know what the psalmist is describing. The kind of salvation is a radically different life. It's far better. It's far better in every possible measurable way. And it's my prayer for you today that the divide created by the sword of God's word, which exists within all of us, would become obvious to you. when the Word of God says, do this, not that, do you agree with it or do you resist it? Do you have an inner rebellion against the voice of God because you want to assert your will, your appetite in, you know, rebellion against God? This is the human dilemma, and this is the lamed, the learning. This is the learning. And like the shepherd's staff that guides you, like a sheep that needs to be not over here, not over there, it raises you up. It allows you to have the life that you know is kind of part of your potential. Now, I'm not giving you some prosperity doctrine here, folks. I'm not saying if you do good things God's way, everything is perfect. What I'm saying is that if you do things and you hunger and thirst for God's voice and his direction, his love, like the psalmist loves it, then you will not perish in your affliction. And your affliction is the you giving vent to your appetites and your will. When we have placed our trust in is far more than the love and grace of God shining down through his law, right? Do we feel like God is only preventing us from doing what we want to because he's a buzzkill? Or do we trust he actually wants us to move beyond satisfying our appetites into something far better? That's what faith is, right? It's trust that he's not just saying no. He's saying no because it'll hurt you. That's love. The psalmist's words point us to an unflinching, unchanging truth that God still speaks to each and every one of us. Not through our religions, I'm so sorry to tell you. It's not through our important accomplishments, even not to diminish any of the things that you're working toward, but through his own gesture of love given to all people in his word. So may we all embrace this learning, the lamed. And as we do, may we all rise higher than we are today. Lord knows our world needs this more than anything else. God bless you as you contemplate these things.